You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Back for about 55 more minutes here on After Hours. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Logan Weber here with you, hosting tonight's program. Chris Unocero behind the glass, producing our festivities here this evening. I mentioned it before we hit the break that Jeremy Fowler of ESPN put out an article putting down the list, top 10 players at each position in the NFL. And it wasn't just Fowler. They had a, you know, league executives, coaches, scouts, and even players that came together to put the top 10 at each position in the league. So I thought it would be sort of an interesting exercise here to go through each of these positions and say, well, if we agree or disagree. So today they released the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL. And I mean, very obviously, I think everybody knows who the number one wide receiver in the NFL is. Jetta. At least in my view, it's Jay Jettis. It's Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver that this league has at its disposal. And ESPN disagrees.
Jamar Chase?
They have Jamar Chase.
So I think you can make a case for him. I just don't think it's as strong as the case you can make for Jefferson. Like, Jefferson is, he can do everything. Chase is like great after the catch. Like, he's one of the best we've ever seen after the catch. He's like, if you had Odell Beckham Jr., but he was better after the catch, like that's how he is. But yeah, I mean, it's a hard, to me, it's like the fact that he can make all that, that Jefferson can make all the acrobatic catches that he can make. I got to give him the advantage.
Yeah. JJ, I think Justin Jefferson is a better route runner.
Yeah.
It's just, you mentioned the after the catch stuff. I think that's where Jamar Chase kind of has Justin Jefferson right. beat a little bit, is what he can do once he has the ball in his hands, that playmaking ability. And that's what ESPN references as to why some of these executives and scouts put Jamar Chase at number one. He's coming off a season where he accomplished the receiving triple crown, which is only the fifth one in league history. He ended up getting 70% roughly of the first place votes in this top 10 rankings.
And I think a lot of that is like, I think a lot of teams could probably do better with Chase than Jefferson, because you can have Chase run a slant and he can take it to the house because he's that great after the catch. So it makes it easier for your quarterback, especially if you got a mediocre ass quarterback, to just, hey, let's throw this simple route and then he'll do all the magic after the catch, versus Jefferson, where there's timing, you got to anticipate, and you got to put it in the right spot. And even if you don't put it quite in the right spot, if you put it in the vicinity, he can make a play. But you still got to be a little bit more accurate with him and run more complex routes with him, versus like Chase, where you run a shallow crosser and he can take it to the crib.
Second on the list, no surprises, then Justin Jefferson. Tyreek Hill is third on this list.
No.
CeeDee Lamb, number four. A.J. Brown, five. Amon-Ra St. Brown is at six. Malik Nabers, the rookie for the Giants, is at seven. Nico Collins with the Houston Texans at eight. Mike Evans of the Buccaneers, nine. Garrett Wilson is at 10.
I think Tyreek is gonna, he regressed last year because of injuries. He's not getting healthier. He's not getting younger. I would not have him in my top five. Like, I understand, like, when he's healthy and, you know, when we're thinking about him in his prime, I don't think he's in his prime anymore.
So, I mean, if you're looking at this list with Tyreek at three, you've got CeeDee, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Malik Nabers three at four through seven. So which of those two guys would you say belongs ahead of Tyreek Hill on that list?
I would put Tyreek at six and just move everyone else up. Hey, I actually would put Amon-Ra St. Brown probably at number three.
Oh,
I'd probably put him at number three because he is similar to Jamar Chase, in that he's a guy that makes things happen after the catch, but I think he is also a really, really good route runner. And he's a guy that can make those acrobatic catches too.
Also a very reliable weapon. He's got the highest reception rate of any receiver in the league with at least 75 targets over the last 6 years.
He catches everything. And he's a great route runner. He's great after the catch. He's not as great after the catch as Ja'Marr Chase, and he's not as great of a route runner and great of a catcher as Justin Jefferson, but I'd probably put him at number three.
I'm a little bit surprised to see that. You know, I mean, I don't disagree with Tyreek Hill being at three. Somebody said, where's Drake London? He was put on, I think he was an honorable mention on the list.
Yeah, he wouldn't be in my top 10.
No, he wouldn't be in mine.
He's just outside.
Either.
He's just outside.
Yeah, he is one of the honorable mentions on the list alongside Terry McLaurin, Puka Nacua, DK Metcalf, T. Higgins, and Devontae
Puka
Adams.
Puka Nacua needs to be in the top 10, too. Yeah, I'd put Puka above Mike Evans.
I'd put Brian Thomas in that top 10 before I put Puka Nacua in the top 10.
I'd put Brian Thomas close to that, too, but Puka is for real.
Puka's got to stay healthy, man.
Yeah, I mean, he had 1 year where he had injuries, and when he came back, he was great. Immediately great again. Oh, I'm telling you, watch Puka this year. I mean, unless he has a crazy injury like he had this past year, I think he's going to have a great season. I think he might be a top five receiver this
year.
Hey,
shout out Terry McLaurin, too, though, as an honorable mention on this list. I like his mention there. I like that he's not in the top 10, but putting him on that
just
in
outside?
The article.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, he's been ultra consistent. 5 consecutive years with at least 1,000 receiving yards.
Yeah.
And having a reliable, competent starting quarterback in Jaden Daniels unlocked his touchdown scoring ability, 13 receiving touchdowns last year, and he had a really, really impressive postseason run as well. 14 catches, 227, and 3 touchdowns in 3 games. I love a Terry McLaurin mention being thrown around there as well.
Very underrated receiver.
100%. 100% would agree on that. They have top 10 off-ball linebackers in the league. Fred Warner at number 1. Not going to argue with that sentiment.
No, I'm not arguing that.
It definitely should be.
Probably the best coverage linebacker in the game.
Yeah.
Like, by far, one of the smartest defensive players in the league. Yeah.
I don't know what ESPN's problem is right now, but I cannot get an article to stay open for more than like 30 seconds. This thing crashes on me repeatedly.
It's ESPN. Yeah.
Good on you, ESPN. Well done, Espen. You're really figuring it out over here. Just trying to look at off-ball linebackers, for God's sake. Let the article work. Roquan Smith of the Baltimore Ravens at 2.
I get that.
Zach Bond, 3.
Okay, yeah, I get
Nick
that.
Bolton, 4. They have, like, the highest and lowest rankings by each of the members of this committee.
I'm fine with him being at 4.
Somebody had Nick Bolton 2nd on their list, and another person had him unranked.
Yeah, no, because here's the thing about Bolton. Bolton as a coverage linebacker, okay at best. There's times where he gets his ass whooped, and there's times where he does play well. He's gotten better, like first year unplayable in pass coverage. Since then, he's been better.
Mm-hmm.
As a run stopper, I mean,
I don't think there's anybody better at stopping the run as an off-ball linebacker than Nick Bolton.
Yeah, no, he's excellent.
Since 2021, Bolton has the best stuffing opponent rushers percentage, I guess you could say, of stopping a guy at or behind the line of scrimmage on 4.7% of snaps he's on the field during a run play. Minimum 1,000 snaps. He's been, and he's as sure a tackler as you're going to find in the National Football League.
He had over 100 tackles his rookie year and played 50% of the snaps for the Chiefs.
Like, yeah, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's how great he is against the run.
Frankie Louvu, 5. Tremaine Edmonds, 6. Levante David, 7. I feel like Levante David could be a little higher on that list. I feel like he's been wildly underrated throughout his entire career.
He has. Yeah, well, he's definitely been really underrated.
DeMarvion Overshawn of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Overshawn's really good. He's really good.
You've got Dre Greenlaw with now the Denver Broncos, of course. I don't know how you put a guy on this list after he played in, what, how many, 4 games?
Greenlaw was, he had injuries, but like he's a good linebacker. But I think it was more so because he was playing with Warner in San Francisco. I think he's not going to have quite the support that he had in San Francisco. And so I don't know if he's going to be the same guy that he was before.
And then 10th on the list is Quincy Williams. You look at the honorable mentions, Patrick Queen of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Which Patrick Queen should be top 10.
Yeah, he's not in the top 10 for off-ball linebackers, but the NFL top 100 put him in there.
Yeah.
So he's not one of the 10 best at his position, but he's a top 100 player in the NFL.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to
I'm curious
to name
how that makes
Queen
sense.
There. No, he needs to be on that list. He's I would put him in my top 5.
DeMario Davis of the New Orleans Saints, guy who's again a very underrated player,
very,
like Lavonte
very
David.
Underrated
he's been
player.
Very good for such a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
Matt Milano of the Bills, Logan Wilson of the
Cincinnati
Bengals.
Yeah, Matt Milano's another one. Yeah. Why didn't they hit? Matt Milano is like the heart and soul of that Bills defense.
Maybe another guy, maybe an injury thing might be playing a factor there.
Still, when he plays, he is one of the best linebackers in the game. He is the heart and soul of that Bills defense.
I agree. Two guys that I believe belong on this top 10 list. One of whom I understand why he's not on the list. The first I've got is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
In
the top 10 because he's not going to play this year
right.
for the Cleveland Browns, which obviously hurts his chances. So I understand why he's not on the top 10. If he was healthy, though, I believe he belongs in that top 10. And then the other one that I've got is Foyesade Oluokun of the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL.
Yeah.
Guy that's another very, in my opinion, wildly underrated off-ball linebacker.
It's very easy to underrate these linebackers because linebacker is not the kind of position it was 20 years ago mm-hmm. where like they were the stars of the defense because you had guys like Ray Lewis and whatnot, Zach Thomas. Well, 20 years ago was probably a little like back end of his career. But like you had a lot of like really, really good linebackers. And nowadays, it's like linebackers are kind of a dime a dozen type position where if you're using a first round pick on a linebacker that is off ball, that's not rushing the passer, you're probably wasting your first round pick.
All right. We're going to take a break here, come back and do a few more of these positions according to ESPN's list of the top 10 players at each position in the NFL. I want to take a look at running back, edge rusher, and defensive tackle on the other side of this break here. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero, 96.5, The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.
After Hours on 96.5, The Fan. Logan Weber, Chris Unocero with you. Our text line number, 913-586-7965. We're going through, ESPN put together their top 10 position rankings in the NFL going into the 2025 season. We just went through off-ball linebacker and wide receiver. Let's look at the top 10 running backs in the NFL, at least according to this committee of people, including scouts and executives and members of the media. More than 70 voters submitted a ballot for at least one position, and in many cases, all positions, that at least according to the top of the article. Number one running back in the NFL, according to ESPN and this committee, Saquon Barkley. Duh.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been anybody else.
Yeah, no, that's an easy answer.
Number two, Derrick Henry. Again, I feel like that's probably a common consensus among people after the year he had.
Yeah.
Number three, Jahmyr Gibbs.
You know, I'm starting to buy into Jahmyr Gibbs as that guy behind those two. I think he's going to be in for a breakout year, and he's one of the most explosive running backs in the league right now.
Yeah, 20 rushing touchdowns last year, or 20 total touchdowns last year, which was the most in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with that.
I'm interested to see if he ends up usurping more targets from or for more carries from David Montgomery compared to what you had last year.
I think he might because Montgomery's not young.
He kind of has to, right?
Yeah,
he's been so good.
Montgomery's not young, and he was starting to get relegated to like short yardage, goal line type situations, and so that was kind of like taking some of the value away from him. I think I would not be shocked if Jahmyr Gibbs starts to eat some more of his touches for sure.
Number four on the list, Bijan Robinson. The highest lowest rankings for some of these guys is insane. Somebody had Bijan Robinson number one as the best running back in the NFL on
Absolutely
their list.
Absolutely not.
Others, at least one other person, had him unranked, like not in the top 10 of the best running backs in the NFL, which I find more insane.
I'm not sure he's number four. Let me look at his number. I mean, he had some good numbers last year.
He had a good
year
last year. He finally got used regularly last year.
Well, yeah, because the Falcons shouldn't have drafted him. Tyler Allgeier had 1,000 yards his rookie year, which is the year before they drafted Bijan.
Right.
So it was like, what was the point of drafting another running back? Like, it didn't make you better. Like, you could have used that pick on, Jalen Carter, who plays for the Eagles and was wreaking havoc last year from the interior. That probably would have been a better pick than Bijan Robinson back in 23.
Fair.
But what do I know?
Number five, Christian McCaffrey. I don't argue with him being top 10 on this list. I know he had the injury issues, didn't play a lot last year, but when he's healthy, he's probably a top three running back in this league.
He's a guy I'm starting to fade. I don't know if he's going to get back to what he was a couple years ago.
I don't blame you. Sixth on the list, Josh Jacobs in year one with the Green Bay Packers, amassed 1,300 rushing yards. He had 15 rushing touchdowns. Yeah, had a great year.
He's good. He's real good.
Jonathan Taylor, seventh on the list, despite the fact that he had better numbers than he did 2 years ago. He actually falls in these rankings.
I think it's because of who he's playing with. No quarterbacks. They're not really that competitive.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, no, I think he's better than he gets credit for.
He's got the second most 100-yard rushing game since 2020, behind only Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
impressive stat.
Only thing I wish is he was better as a receiver. Doesn't get quite the usage in the passing game you'd like to see.
James Cook at 8, Joe Mixon 9, Alvin Kamara is number 10. I have to say, of the list that I've seen put together, I mean, I could disagree with some of the placement of certain guys, but I think that's a pretty strong top 10 at the running back position.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. I think I would probably have all those guys top 10.
When you look at the honorable mentions, Bucky Irving, who had a great year in Tampa Bay, but it was what, 800-900 yards rushing he had last year?
Yeah, I'm not quite on the Bucky train. I've seen I've done some mock drafts here lately for my league, and he's being mocked in like the second or third round. I'm like, that's a little, I'm not sure if I'm buying into him being that high, worth that high of a fantasy draft pick. But yeah, no, I liked Bucky coming out of Oregon, and yeah, no, I definitely am happy with what he's doing in Tampa.
Others on the honorable mention list include Aaron Jones, Devon Achane, and Breece Hall, along with James Conner of the Arizona Cardinals, who had kind of a resurgent year. Kyren Williams, not among the honorable mentions on this list.
Kyren Williams should be on that list. That's a guy who should be on that list.
Yeah, yeah. He should, at least an honorable mention.
At least an honorable mention,
list.
But I mean, I think you can make a case for him over some of those bottom guys. Kyren Williams is really underrated.
100% agree. Good runner of the football. He does really, really well
scores
out of the backfield. It catches passes too.
Scores a lot.
Yes.
He's really good.
Incredibly effective in a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
Defensive tackles, top 10 list. Dexter Lawrence, Sexy Dexy at number one, according to this panel at ESPN.
I can't put any. I know Chris Jones didn't quite have the year last year. He was hurt, but I think that he might have a resurgence a bit this year. A lot of motivation. He would be my number one. But I love Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, Dexter Lawrence got a great year. I mean, double-digit sacks for a guy who faced double teams nearly 75% of his snaps.
Yeah.
And still amassed the year he had, which is incredibly impressive.
When Chris Jones is done, he will be the top defensive tackle in the game.
Yeah, no question. Chris Jones sitting there at number two. Jalen Carter of the Philadelphia Eagles, 3. I do not disagree.
And Jalen Carter will overtake Dexter Lawrence at some point and become the top defensive tackle in the game here in a few years. Maybe a year or two.
Jeffrey Simmons at number 4.
Yeah, I can get with that.
Ahead of Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, I can get with that. Okay. Jeffrey Simmons he's for real. He's super underrated.
Yeah, agreed.
He's super underrated. Yeah, I would take him over Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams at 5. Leonard Williams sitting at number 6 on this list.
Okay.
Nnamdi Matabuke of the Baltimore Ravens at 7.
Very, very underrated defensive tackle.
Yeah,
sure.
Kind of gets overlooked by some of the bigger side, by some of the more high profile players on that Ravens team, but even on that defense.
Yeah, no, like that, the 23 team, like he was a major part of the reason why that team was so good on defense. Because his ability to generate pressure up the middle and his ability against the run, yeah, no. Matabuke does not get the shine he deserves.
DeForest Buckner sitting at number 8.
Quietly top 10, but he's one of the best interior pass rushers. Yeah,
like 8.5 sacks a year.
Yeah,
consistently.
He's consistently terrorizing quarterbacks up the middle of the D-line.
Vita Vea.
Vita Vea is great. Yeah, Vita Vader's. Yeah, that's another one. Doesn't get his shine, but has been like quietly one of the best players at his position for like 5 years.
Yeah, now. And had just as coming off of the best year of his career. He had career highs in TFLs and sacks last season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Terrorized Mahomes in that Super Bowl.
100%. Vita Vea. He's been incredibly effective for a very, very long time.
He would scare if I was a running back and you were running between the tackles against the Bucks. He would scare me every time. Like he is a destroyer of the run game.
And then fifth and finally on the list, Cam Hayward of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another guy who has been just a consistent top 10 player at his position in this league for a long, long time.
Just always finds ways to stay in the game. For so many years now, has been one of the best.
He was a first-team All-Pro last year at defensive tackle, so I'm kind of surprised and that he's that low
he's
on
like
this
34?
List.
34?
35.
35? Yeah, he's really old for a player, and yet he's still out there performing as one of the best at his position. They've been cutting down his usage, though.
Mm-hmm. Honorable mentions, Christian Wilkins, Derek Brown, Zach Allen.
Look at how far Christian Wilkins has fallen.
Yeah, I mean, he only played 12 games last year, so that certainly hurt his productivity. But
even, like, I mean, ever since he left Miami, man, he has not been that dude. When he was in Miami, he was top five, probably top three, and he's not that dude anymore.
Zach Seiler of the Miami Dolphins, and then here's a guy that I don't disagree with him being an honorable mention this year, but I think by next season he's going to be a top 10 player at the position, Kobe Turner. Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a really, really good interior defensive lineman in this league for many, many years to come.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
All right. So I just finished defensive tackle. I am going to fight whoever is in charge of the website at ESPN. I don't know what is wrong with this website. We've got one mainstream sports media company firing everybody, and the other one can't get their website to work. What are we doing? $1 billion company, by the way.
Modern technology, man.
$1 billion company. Absolutely love it. All right, so we've gone through wide receiver. We went through off-ball linebackers. We did running backs, defensive tackles. Next up, I want to go through the edge rushers. Let me get through this and try to find the damn edge rusher list. All right. Number one, Myles Garrett.
Yep.
Don't disagree.
Nope.
TJ Watt, 2.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Micah Parsons, 3. I feel like you could.
Who's after him?
Max Crosby. Raiders.
I would put Max above him.
Okay. Nick Bosa, 5.
I would put Nick Bosa above him.
Trey Hendrickson, 6.
I would put Trey Hendrickson above him.
I'm sorry. Trey Hendrickson's number 4 on this
Trey
list.
Trey Hendrickson might be number 3.
Could be.
He might be number. He's led the league the last 2 years in sacks. He is. His technique, like, this is, it's funny. Is like, he was kind of a late bloomer, kind of like Carl Loftus, where it's like early on, not super productive, pretty well productive, but like late 20s, he just flipped a switch. He's got great technique. I really like Trey Hendrickson. I probably put him above Max Crosby right now.
Aiden Hutchinson at 7, despite all the time he missed last year because of that.
Yeah, I would still put him at 7. Serious injury. He was on pace to be one of the best at his position. He would be much higher up, I think, if he had played the whole year.
Will Anderson, 8. Danielle Hunter, 9. So back-to-back Texans there. And then Jared Verse of the Los Angeles Rams at 10.
Jared Verse, no. Who's honorable mention? I wouldn't put Jared Verse top 10 now right now. Yeah. Maybe after the end of this coming season, but not right now.
Yeah, he kind of feels a little bit like Kobe Turner in that respect.
Yeah,
where
it
like,
feels like he's
primed.
He's primed for it, but he's not quite there yet.
Right, fringe top 10 guy. Honorable mentions, Brian Burns.
I would put Burns above him.
Nick Benito of the Broncos.
Oh, Benito's really underrated. Like, just go back and watch what he did to Kingsley Suamataia. Put his ass back on the bench. Yeah, he's very underrated.
Jonathan Grenard with the Vikings.
Yes, yeah, Grenard. Yeah, he's a very, very good edge rusher.
And the final honorable mention at edge rusher, George Karlaftis.
Yeah, I'm fine George. With that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Others receiving votes, Josh Hines Allen, Khalil Mack, who kind of had a pretty resurgent year with the Chargers.
Yeah,
this
but
past
it was
year.
Like it was only like a handful of games that he like Do you have like a 7-sack game? One of the
like a five sack game or something like that.
Like a lot of his sacks came in one, like a handful of games. So he wasn't like consistently great.
Yeah, I would agree. Like putting Benito at 10 and moving Jared Verse into the honorable mention list.
That's what I would do.
That's
like Benito, what I'm saying. Benito is really really good. He's definitely starting to come on as a speed rusher. Yeah, no, I would put him above Verse. But I think Verse is almost there. Verse had a really great rookie year last year.
He did. He did. And he very much so will be in the top 10 of the defensive ends and edge rushers in this league very, very soon. I'm in the same boat you're in. I don't think it's this year necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think it's this year. We'll see. Certainly, it helps that he's got Kobe Turner. It helps he's got Braden Fisk there as well. So they got some good guys on that D line there in LA. So, maybe he takes that big step forward this year.
913-586-7965 is our number. We still have safeties, tight ends, interior linemen, offensive tackles, and quarterbacks to get to here coming up as ESPN went through their top 10 at each position with a panel of over 70 voting on these players. We'll talk about it coming up next. After Hours, Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, who are the top 10 safeties in the NFL? According to ESPN, the article was written by Jeremy Fowler, but this panel that ESPN put together was made up of close to 70 people, coaches, scouts, even players, members of the media. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber, Chris Unocero here with you for close to another 20 minutes or so. According to this list, this panel has Kyle Hamilton as the number one safety in the National Football League. I think his positional versatility played a major role in him being number one on this list.
That, his size, he can play man coverage. Yeah, no, I'd be hard-pressed to find a better safety right now than him.
Brian Branch of the Detroit Lions at 2.
Really?
Yeah. Xavier McKinney at 3.
I'd have McKinney above Branch.
I would, too.
Branch is more of like a third safety. He's a really good third safety, but I don't know if I'd have him number two. No.
Four interceptions, 16 pass deflections, which was the most among qualified safeties in the NFL last year. He had a 21.1% ball hawking rate, which was second best among safeties with at least 50 targets. Mentioned Xavier McKinney at 3, Jesse Bates at 4.
Yeah, I would have him above Branch. Bates, I probably have him at number 2. Because Bates has been so good in Atlanta since I'm sure the Bengals fans would love to have kept him in when he was a pending free agent.
He's got 24 picks since he joined the league in 2018, and he's got 10 over the last 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. Ever since he went down south, he has been, like, aside from Kyle Hamilton, he's been the best safety in football.
Yeah, he's and on top of the fact that he's got 10 picks, 21 pass breakups, he's got 234 tackles during his 2 years so far in Atlanta.
He's been busting people's asses the last couple of years.
After everybody in Cincinnati beeped and moaned because he wasn't physical enough for them with the Bengals defense.
And he's been better in ATL.
Yeah. Meanwhile, your defense is in shambles.
Trash.
I'm not going to talk about Cincinnati anymore. I would agree. I would probably put Jesse Bates at 4. Kirby Joseph of the Detroit Lions at 5, forming one of the strongest safety duos in the league, if not the strongest.
Yeah, he's good.
Derwin James of the Chargers at 6, another guy who's been, just so freaking consistent in his position in this league for such a long time.
Injuries, he can be beat. That is the one thing with him. We obviously have seen what happens when he plays man coverage against Travis Kelce. He can be had, but he's still very good.
A great guy to bring down into the box, too, right?
Oh,
He can generate TFLs, and he can generate sacks.
One of the best safeties playing up at the line.
Antoine Winfield at 7.
Yes.
Buda Baker, 8.
Buda does not get his just due. He deserves a lot more than what he's gotten in Arizona.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I agree with that.
At 9.
I agree with that. I like what Minka's done.
I feel like Minka could maybe be a little bit higher on that list.
Maybe a little bit higher. You might be able to move like Kirby Joseph a little bit down, move him and Buddha up maybe a spot each.
And then Julian Love of the Seahawks, 10. Javon Holland, who was with the Dolphins, now he's with the Giants, is an honorable mention. Brandon Jones is an honorable mention. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, after the year he had with the Eagles, now he's with the Texans. Trayvon Warrig of the Panthers and Kalen Bullock of the Houston Texans, honorable mentions.
Bullock, I think, is going to have a really nice year this year. He had a lot of talent there. I think he was a Georgia Bulldog before. He's got a lot of talent for sure. That's going to be a guy to watch out for this year.
Yeah, guy with great ball skills. His biggest, I guess you could say, knock against him is that he's not always the most consistent and or willing tackler at times coming down as a safety in this league. Yeah. But
I can't remember the name of the kid that the Ravens drafted in round one this year at safety, but pairing up him with Hamilton. Who was it? The kid from Georgia, I think, is who they got. Pairing up him with Hamilton, man, we might be talking about two Ravens top 10 safeties next year when they put out this list.
Trying to see. Malachi Starks.
Yeah, Malachi Starks. That's a guy, I when I think of like someone who has like Eric Berry-like traits at safety, like a big-time playmaker as a safety, that's a guy I look at. He could be top 10 next year. He's really, really talented.
This is a group that fascinates me. Top 10 tight ends in the National Football League. Number one on this list, Brock Bowers of the Raiders. People buying into the rookie big time.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, yeah, you can make the argument that, oh, he's only got 1 year of production, but it was the best rookie season by a tight end ever.
He put up number one wide receiver production. I think he's only going to get better, yeah.
Almost 1,200 receiving yards and 112 catches in his debut season is remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
George Kittle at 2. Okay.
I guess I could get down with that.
I mean, back-to-back 1,000-yard receptions, 1,000-yard seasons.
I can get down with that.
78 catches a season ago, despite the fact that the 49ers offense was a shambles with injuries.
Yeah.
Still had pretty good production. Sam Laporta at 3. After a down year in year two and year after the great rookie year he had, he slides in at number 3.
No, that's where I'd put Kelsey at.
ESPN doesn't even have Travis Kelsey at 4. They've got Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals.
No, I wouldn't put him up there. No, but I like Trey a lot, but I don't think he really quite proved that last year.
111 catches and 1,100 receiving yards.
Yeah, I'm not quite buying that quite yet.
Travis Kelsey, 5.
Yeah. Like I said, I think I would put Kelsey number 3.
Mark Andrews, 6.
Mark Andrews has fallen. He's done a lot of falling here ever since he had that injury a couple years ago. He hasn't been quite the same guy.
Yeah, and he missed time last year, and Isaiah Likely really rose to the fore and showed you that he can be a really good tight end in this league.
They're thinking Isaiah might get a nice little payday, and he might end up overtaking Andrews as their top tight end some point this
definitely,
year.
Definitely, I definitely anticipate a lot of two tight end sets from the Ravens this year.
Oh yeah, they're one of the heaviest 12 personnel teams anyways. I definitely think that they're going to run a lot more this year.
TJ Hockenson, 7.
Hockenson's very underrated. I like him a lot though.
He just got to stay healthy, man.
His thing.
TJ is always hurt, and I say that I'm an Iowa guy. I love TJ Hockenson to death. If TJ's healthy, he can be great. But that man is always seemingly hurt, and I don't know what he's going to look like coming into this year because he had the ACL MCL tear in what was that, week 16 for the Vikings. He was having a great year in terms, you know, he was had 95 catches coming into that game, but he's really struggled to stay healthy, and now with a rookie quarterback, quote unquote, and JJ McCarthy throwing him the ball, who knows. Isaiah Likely at 8. Dallas Goedert, 9. David Njoku, 10.
I'm fine with those. Tight end's one of those positions that, like, once you get outside the top 5, it's a pretty big downgrade. It's not one of those positions where, like, the guys at the back end of the top 10 are not that much different from the guys at the top of the top 10. Like, once you start getting past 5, there's a huge difference.
Honorable mentions, Dalton Kincaid, Pat Freiermuth, Hunter Henry, Evan Ingram, who's now with the Denver Broncos, Cole Kmet, Jake Ferguson, and Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith is interesting. That's a guy I would look out for because, like, man, last year in Miami, he had a pretty nice year once he started to get going. So don't be shocked if he kind of takes a jump a little bit this year. I've been looking for him to make a jump for a while, and he hasn't quite done it yet. I thought he was going to do it when he signed with the Patriots a few years ago. We'll see what he does this time around.
All right, let's really quickly run down the interior offensive linemen, and then we'll do tackles and quarterbacks in the back break, the final break we have here on tonight's show. Number one, interior lineman, Creed Humphrey. Should be.
Yep.
Tyler Smith of the Dallas Cowboys at 2.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Quentin Nelson, Colts, 3.
Yep, I'm cool with that.
Ultra consistent. Trey Smith sitting at number 4 with that newly minted $94 million deal.
Yep, that's a good one.
The guy that he usurped to become the highest paid guard in NFL history, Landon Dickerson, is at number 5. I have no problem with him being at 5.
Yep.
Joe Tooney at 6. Now a member of the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. We will move past that quickly as to not break anybody's hearts.
No, that'll be all right.
Chris Lindstrom of the Atlanta Falcons, 7. A guy who has quietly been a very, very good interior lineman in this league for quite a while now. He just gets forgotten about because he's in Atlanta.
He got paid because he's a center, right?
Yes.
He got paid a couple. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Something like
got
that.
20 a year? Yeah, no, he's good. He's real good.
Quinn Meinerz of the Denver Broncos at 8.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's definitely stepped his game up here the last few years.
Elgton Jenkins of the Green Bay Packers at 9, and Tyler Linderbaum of the Baltimore Ravens is at 10.
Yeah, no, I like Linderbaum a lot. I liked it when the Ravens took him a couple years ago in the draft. Yeah, I like him.
I think he's a little undervalued. I think 10's a little low for him. Somebody had him number 1 on their list.
I wouldn't put him that high, but I do think he is a little underrated because I've seen some people try to downplay him. Linderbaum's really good.
He is really good. I'd say I think he's probably, in my view, in my opinion, as much as I do applaud Chris Lindstrom, I think that Tyler Linderbaum is the second best center in this league, not Chris Lindstrom.
I think you make that case, yeah. I'm not going to have like this deep argument on centers here, but yeah, no, I think you can make that case. Yeah.
I might just be an Iowa homer. That could also be playing a major role.
That's probably why.
All right. We're going to do offensive tackles and quarterbacks coming up next. Our final segment of the show coming your way after hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber, Chris Unocero, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, we don't have a lot of time here, so I'm going to try to dive into these final two lists I have as quickly as possible. ESPN came out with top 10 player rankings at each position, according to a panel of coaches and executives, scouts, and so on and so forth. Final two I've got are offensive tackle and quarterback. They're doing corners tomorrow, so we don't have that top 10 yet. According to ESPN, the number one offensive tackle in the NFL, Tristan Wirfs of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A little bit surprised to see him at 1, but I don't disagree with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. He's definitely earned at least to be in the conversation for top tackle in the game, yeah.
Only player ever to be a first-team All-Pro at left and right tackle at any point in their NFL careers.
Yeah, he's definitely a phenom at that position because, yeah, he started out at right, moved over to left, I think, 23. Yeah. And, yeah, he got paid before last season, and he's been awesome.
Shout out Iowa Hawkeyes. Just had to throw that out. Number 2, Penei Sewell. 3, Lane Johnson. Number 4 is still Trent Williams, despite the injury issues and the advanced age that he's at. Still an ultra-consistent player.
He's an incredible athlete. He's a phenom at that position.
Yeah, the guy's going to end up in Canton for a reason. Jordan Mailata at 5. Yep. Rashawn Slater, 6, after a really good improvement over his rookie campaign. Laremy Tunsil, 7, after he regressed a little bit from what he did in Houston. Now he goes to Washington. We'll see how that pans out. Deion Dawkins of the Buffalo Bills, 8. Christian Darrisaw of the Vikings, 9. Andrew Thomas of the New York Giants is at 10. So honorable mentions, Jake Matthews, Joe Alt, Ronnie Stanley, Colton Miller, Taylor Decker, and Bernard Raymond of the Indianapolis Colts. Then we've got top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Oh, this is just going to be my luck, man. We got a minute left here, and ESPN's not going to load this damn article.
I mean,
and look, I'm not going to get to see who the top 10 quarterbacks
are. Let's keep it a buck. We know Mahomes is the number one. Josh Allen's probably number two. Lamar Jackson's three. Joe Burrow's four. Jalen Hurts five.
But in my opinion, Joe Burrow's the second best quarterback in this league.
I would put him at number four.
All right. I think he's the second best quarterback in this league. I'm putting Lamar Jackson at three. I'm putting Josh Allen at four. I don't want to call myself a Josh Allen hater, but I'm certainly not a Josh Allen lover.
Yeah, I'm not either, but you know, I'll keep it real about him.
My guy turns the ball over.
He does.
Way too much in this league. All right, it's not going to load. I give up. That's going to do it for our show tonight. For my producer, Chris Unocero, I'm Logan Weber. Thank you guys for joining us, tuning in, and getting involved on the text line. As always, another episode of After Hours coming your way tomorrow night before the Royals get back in action on Friday. We out.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home boards. 96.5 The Fan.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.